Morning. How y'all are? All are okay. My wife sat down on the couch next to me, and as I was flipping through the channels, she asked, "What's on TV?" I said, "Dust." And that's when the fight began. I tried to talk my wife into buying a case of Miller Lite for $14.95, but instead she bought cold cream for $7.95. I told her the beer would make her look better at night than the cold cream. And that's when the fight began. I asked my wife, "Where do you want to go for our next anniversary?" It warmed my heart to see her face in sweet appreciation. "Somewhere I haven't been in a long time," she said. So I suggested, "How about the kitchen?" And that's when the fight began. Our lawnmower broke and wouldn't run. My wife kept bothering me to get it fixed and do something about it. But always I had something else that I needed to take care of first, the truck, the car, email, Facebook, fishing, always something more important to me. Finally, she thought of a clever way to make her point. When I arrived home one day, I found her seated in the tall grass, busily snipping away with a tiny pair of sewing scissors. I watched her silently for a short time, then went back into the house. I was gone only a few minutes, and when I came out, I handed her a toothbrush. "When you finish cutting the grass," I said, "you might as well sweep the driveway." And that's when the fight began. I couldn't pass that up. I won't treat this like Sunday school. If you got questions, raise your hand. But in the last couple of months before I was out of pocket for a few weeks, I had a lot of people asking me about baptism. So I'm going to talk about that today. Get your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 28. How many former Baptists here this morning? Okay. Matthew 28:19-20. How many RAs in here? Anybody within Royal Ambassadors in Bab? Okay. According to our Royal Ambassador Creed, this was the thing we had to learn to quote first. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." What does this tell the folks who are reading this and to whom this applies? What does it say to do? Come on. Go what? And do what? Teach, evangelize, right? Any of those things. What else does it say? Baptized. So then, the purpose of this, or the command, this is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission for this age was to go and to teach and to baptize. All right? Most of you know that. Now go to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, what do we see? Acts chapter 2 and 3, what's happening? It's the day of Pentecost. What is Pentecost? Okay, it's a feast, right? There are how many Jewish feast days? Seven. There are seven Jewish feast days, and this one is Pentecost. And what was to happen at Pentecost? What were people doing at Pentecost? 50 days after the Passover, was Pentecost? What was the Passover? How do folks observe the Passover in America? Easter. Whatever Lola wants, Lola doesn't get. But anyway, it's Easter. This is 50 days after Easter. And what was to happen is one of the big feast days for the Jews, and they were to come forward from all parts, and they would come on this particular day to Jerusalem. It's much like the Muslim world goes to where? Mecca, at least once in their lifetime, they go to Mecca. So this is what was occurring at Pentecost. People from all parts of the known world at that time were gathered together for the Feast of Pentecost. Peter is preaching in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, a Pentecostal address, okay? And a lot of people stop in Acts chapter 2 and don't go into 3, but it's carried forward into Acts chapter 3. So in Acts chapter 2, let's look at verse 37. Peter's preached to them that what has happened, folks, is that our Jewish leaders have killed the Messiah. And in verse 37, he says, "Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is made unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Okay, what does Peter say to this crowd? Repent, be baptized for what? Was baptism necessary for remission of sins at this point in time? Pardon? Yes, it was. Okay, what else does he say there? This is made to what? You and to your children and all that are far off. What happens is that I am surrounded in Nashville, Tennessee by the headquarters of the Churches of Christ. And on every corner, there's the Church of Christ. That was very unusual for me when I moved up here in 2000. Because where I came from in North Louisiana and Central Louisiana, around every corner there was a Southern Baptist church. There might have been one Church of Christ. If there was, I can't even remember if there was one around that area. But they are there. Now, the Churches of Christ, of course, use this much like Baptists use Matthew 28, 19, and 20, they use Acts 2, 38 as their commission and their charge. And so consequently, that's what they do. They teach that. And they even go further than that in that they say, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. Right? Well, let's see if we can look at some of the scripture that we're going to go through to show us how we can handle this. And the reason why this has been coming up in my classes is that we now have two ex-Church of Christ people in our Bible class, and it's coming up, and they want to know, well, why, what can I do in order to go back to show my mother, who's been in the movement for a long time? So I tried to come up with something like this. What they don't see, and I point to them automatically, is they don't go to Acts chapter 3 and look at verse 19. In Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When is the time of refreshing that is going to come from the presence of the Lord? Pardon me? I didn't hear that. Did you hear that? I didn't hear that. I really didn't. I'm Millennium ring. Okay, excuse me. What I was looking for was the second coming of Christ. But anyway, and that's why I was looking for that, and I didn't hear millennium. But it's going to come the second coming. What's the difference in the second coming of Christ and the rapture of the church, the body of Christ? Huh? 50,000 comedians out of work, and we have Seguin, Texas, coming forward to tell us about many. Well, you noticed I didn't go to the board so you could say that I didn't spell anything right. You know, just about the time I was going into surgery, I had a vision. I'm standing up there, kind of far off, and I'm seeing St. Peter and the Lord talking. And said, St. Peter says, "Lord, is Obie Kirkpatrick down there? You know he's on the roll. He's ready to go, but are you sure you won't bring him up here?" He said, "Well, is there some reason why you think I shouldn't?" He said, "Yeah. He's that guy, you know, that told that joke in Chattanooga with this $20 bill and this $1 bill." And the Lord says, "No, don't bring him up here." What's the reason for baptism? What are some of the reasons why people baptize? Okay? They baptize the person in the Old Testament upon entering in what? The priesthood. And so, it was an act of cleansing as well as anything else. When someone would bring in the Old Testament animals, they would wash the animal, cleanse the animal, and consequently, then they could go and they could offer it. For the priesthood, it was basically the same thing. In the New Testament, baptism was for remission of sins, except in the Pauline epistles. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Bear with me. I've got my allergies cutting up. I got out and walked this morning, and all those crepe myrtles they got me going. Scott knows about allergies. 3:13. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the waters, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Why was Jesus baptized? To fulfill all righteousness. Would someone give this gentleman a star, please? Fulfill all righteousness. That's it. Okay? It was not for remission of sins, was it? Why? He didn't have any sins. That's exactly right. He had no sins. It was what then? Could it be that it was the anointing of his priesthood? Let us go to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus 29, And let's start with verse 1. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and waters unleavened, anointed with oil. Of wheaten flour shalt thou make them, and thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall what? Wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron the coat, and the robe of the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird them with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Thou shalt then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. Look at Leviticus chapter 8. Verse 6. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. This baptism of Jesus, having no sin, was the anointing of the priesthood, and that was the beginning of his ministry at that point in time. How old was Jesus at the time of the baptism? 30 years old. How old must a person be before he can enter into the priesthood? 30 years old. Now I want you to look at John chapter 1. And look at verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which what? Taketh away the sins of the world. John made this announcement before Jesus died on the cross. Did John at this point in time understand that this Jesus was going to take away the sins of the world? He said, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. But did he know that Jesus was going to die for our sins? He did not. So he makes this announcement before he knew. Okay? Why do I know that he did not know that Christ was going to die for his sins at this point, but he knew that it was to take away the sins of the world? Huh? How do we know that? Go to Mark. Chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. He's speaking to his disciples here. And he tells them what he must do, and Peter rebukes him. It goes on in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 10. He does that numerous times in those chapters, and they did not know. And in Luke, we know that the reason they didn't know was because it was hid from them, right? So I know that John over here, when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," did not know that Christ was going to die for the sins of the world. Very quickly, I'm going to say that there are basically six or seven divisions that are caused by baptism. And once we understand those, we can better explain to people, like I'm trying to do with our Church of Christ friends. There are those who say you must be baptized to be saved. Others do not. That's divisive, isn't it? There's one group that baptizes children and another does not. That's divisive, isn't it? Number three, one says you must be immersed and another one says you just have to be sprinkled. That's divisive. Four, some say baptism is an act of obedience and necessary for membership. As a member of the Southern Baptist Church, we said that person had to be baptized of like faith and like order. What does that mean? You had to be Baptist, you had to be Southern Baptist on top of it. If you were independent Baptist and coming over to a Southern Baptist, guess what? You had to be baptized over again. If you were sprinkled in a Methodist church, guess what? You had to be baptized, immersed. A Baptist church baptizes in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, whereas others baptize in Jesus' name, and that is divisive. So consequently, we've got five things there. Number six, Peter was sent to baptize according to the Scripture. Paul was not, and that is divisive. So, as long as we understand why these things divide, we can better explain to people what the Scripture actually says. We have a greater commission, as you know, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 15. We won't go there, 14 through 21. What happens is we are to concentrate on the resurrection side of Jesus Christ, not on his earthly ministry. If you go over and look in about verse 16, it says that in 2 Corinthians, the thing that Jesus did on this earth, what? Forget about it. Why? He performed a lot of miracles. He raised people from the dead, but what does Paul say? Those things pale in the light of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that. We need to be aware of false prophets, and we need to be very careful. Churches baptize for various different reasons. They say because Jesus commanded it, it symbolizes a new life in Christ. Not so. It symbolized remission of sins. What I'm challenging you to do is don't be hoodwinked by the denomination. Go to the Scripture and validate.